Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Stall. 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 Bathroom stall? Call who for a good time? Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you all right there?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Yeah.
Just had an accident before we started.
It's not so much an accident, more just a slight injury. Yeah.
Do you want to describe the injury to the adrift listener?
I had a little
drifters.
A little touch of hair hurt.
Hair hurt, you say?
Yeah, my hair had been squashed in a certain position while wearing a hat, and I took the hat off, and I tried to push my hair the other way, and the roots weren't happy, and they hurt.
And is it all over now?
It's a bit sore, but I'm okay.
I miss the hat, I'll be honest with you. You look so festive.
Oh.
Let me tell you something. The hat you've chosen to wear, I think there is a fine line with that type of hat between looking festive and looking like a simpleton. You know, sort of Benny from Crossroads-ish.
Okay.
And I think you are on the right side of the line.
Thank God for that.
You look like a... Like the film Love Actually. You look like the film Love Actually in human form, all of it.
I've been wearing it since October. I didn't realise it was festive.
I think so. You're wearing... So none of your clothing has Christmas sort of insignias, logos. There's no Christmas paraphernalia.
No.
But you're sort of wearing quite a festive woolly jumper.
Right.
And the hat in concert with the jumper was giving... An impression of it's the little Christmas elf has come to my house.
Okay.
Even though there's nothing specifically Christmassy about either of them.
No.
Do you see what I mean?
No.
You want me to explain further?
No, I see.
So I'm not sure that anybody else does.
Just to be clear, I wasn't wearing anything with snowflakes, Father Christmas, reindeers, anything like that. No.
No, but like I'm looking at that jumper now and I could easily imagine somebody herding reindeer whilst wearing that jumper.
Okay.
Right, right. And similarly, the hat you were wearing, if a caroler came to my door...
The bobble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the overall effect that you're giving.
Mm-mm.
And I liked it.
Okay.
I was a fan. You like my Christmas tree?
Do I like it?
Yeah.
I told you I loved it.
I know. I'm just worried it's a bit oppressive.
What? Why do you think it's oppressive? What do you mean?
I just wonder if it's too large for the room, really.
Is it touching the ceiling? No.
It's not touching the ceiling, but no. I think if
is it
you're
touching the walls? No.
No, but if you're on the sofa, it's probably touching you at some stage, depending on whereabouts on the sofa you are.
Right.
It's a bit like Day of the Triffids. It's like the plant is beginning to take over.
What was your experience in choosing it? Were there some, was it that you saw that one first and then felt guilty for not taking it?
That's what we did last year.
Right.
And then this year I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find the fullest, biggest tree I can.
Oh, okay. Right.
And I wonder if it's a little too full and a little too big for my modest front room.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Have you noticed anything different about me?
Your voice is a bit croaky.
It is. That's not the thing. But thank you for noticing. Still struggling with a mild cold.
Mm. Nope. Apart from that, no.
You see me every week? We see each other at least once a week? Not noticed anything different?
I have just noticed that you've got one pair of glasses on your face and then one around your neck on a...
And the pair, the glasses that I'm on a cord, they call it.
I was going to say lanyard, but yeah, cord.
So the glasses I'm wearing on my face aren't my usual glasses. I'm wearing square glasses and I usually wear little roundy ones. No, I know. It's quite something.
Wow.
So I sat on my glasses at the weekend.
Oh, Jeff. Schoolboy era.
Yeah. So, and they're my varifocals.
Okay. Yeah.
So now I have been walking around wearing my spare glasses on my head most of the time, and then my reading glasses on a cord around my neck, my spare reading glasses, if I need them.
I was going to ask, where do the other ones go? They go on your head, do they?
Yeah, so sometimes I put them up on my head like that as well.
That's quite the look.
My wife cannot get enough of me at the moment. Our marriage has become very sexual after these years. I think it's a real turn on for any lady.
Sure.
I'm surprised that even though I think believe we have the most platonic of friendships, you know, I'm surprised. You know, there's no attraction coming off you. If you are, I imagine you're probably suppressing it.
It shows how quite platonic it is that it's doing nothing for me. But really, yeah, there's nothing there. But yeah, the cord, the ones on your head, the two at once. It's wow.
It's quite something, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I think, you know how, you know, common outfits that a gentleman might like or find sexy, fancy dress costumes might be a French maid.
Mm-hmm.
Or a certain type of nurse.
Right, yeah, stereotypically so, yeah.
Yeah, an equal stereotype for a lady might be a middle-aged gentleman with two pairs of glasses, one on a cord.
Oh, it's an Anne Summers outfit, I'm sure.
I've said this before, I think, but I'm always surprised that Anne Summers, the I'm trying to think, if we've got any listeners who aren't from the UK, how would you explain it?
It's kind of, it's a saucy shop, isn't it?
It is.
But it's not dirty, it's just saucy.
It's an emporium of erotica.
Mm-hmm. Saucy. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a Carry-On film made into a shop.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm surprised that they don't sell like latex milkman costumes.
Latex. Yeah, because a milkman's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, window cleaner.
Yeah, and of course, you know, we know that latex makes everything just that little bit sexier.
Hmm. Yeah.
Have I ever told that story about when the bosses at Virgin Radio tried to get me and Pete to dress in latex suits for I mean, I think they eventually got us to.
They had them made, didn't they? And then they photographed them and you couldn't tell they were latex in the picture, and they cost like £1,000 or something.
It was so weird. So what happened was, I don't know if this is an interesting story or not, but the boss at the time, his bezzy mate who worked in the marketing department had been to some kind of club where people wore a lot of latex. I'll leave you to fill in the blank of what type of club that might be.
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, that's certainly what I did.
Yeah.
Without asking the question. And whilst at one of these particular club nights, he'd met a couple who designed latex costumes.
Mm.
And they must have got talking to him, think, oh, here's a man in charge of a marketing budget. And they had persuaded him that the next big thing in fashion and design and was going to be latex suits.
How was it ever going to be the next big thing?
I know.
It was never going to be the next big thing.
So we got called into this meeting, so we want to do a photo shoot with you. You're going to be wearing latex suits. And straight away I'm saying, this sounds very fetishy to me. I don't think this is it. I don't want to be wearing a latex suit. You know, I'm imagining a zip that goes over my face. Not like Zippy from Rainbow, the other way.
Right, yeah.
And they say, no, they're going to be just like normal suits. You're not going to be able to tell their latex
then
in the pictures.
Then what's the point?
So why are you making me wear a latex suit then? Said, because it's going to be the next big trend. And, you know, I'm not a follower of fashion, but I was fairly sure it wasn't going to be the next big trend.
Mm.
So I phoned up the editor of GQ magazine.
yes.
Just to say, I know this sounds insane, but can you tell me, is latex, to the best of your knowledge, going to be the next big thing in men's fashion?
Yeah.
He said, no, absolutely not.
He said, no, it's distress cuffs. It was always distress cuffs, wasn't it? Do you remember?
Yeah.
He used to come and do a thing on the show, and you'd always ask him what the big thing was, and he'd always say, distress cuffs.
Which isn't that like your cuffs are a bit worn out?
Yes.
Sounds like an excuse for not buying a new shirt. Anyway, so I went back with my my dossier of evidence that latex wasn't going to become the best next
dossier,
and they still forced us to photo shoot in latex.
And did the pictures, and you couldn't tell they were latex.
Yeah.
You know?
Although they got all the DJs to do latex pictures, and a few of them did look like they'd just wandered off. I was going to say the set of The Matrix, but it didn't look as good as that.
And have you still got the latex suit? Because you can get the latex glasses made, and that is your outfit done.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. Everything that you always wanted in a friend that was with you all the time, anytime. Right now. Happening. Right.
Please share your story with us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com. Got any story about going along with a harebrained scheme by your boss just out of awkwardness?
Yeah.
Or having to compile a dossier? Or just any of the usual topics. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
First one's from Imperial Lord Master Mark. My 18-year-old daughter, Ellie, recently admitted to a meek revenge. Possibly the meekest revenge ever. Occasionally, Ellie will hang out the washing for us when she is around during the summer. Little did we know that she was reserving her least favourite pegs, the oldest wooden ones, for the clothes belonging to the family member who had most recently irked her. I imagine the satisfaction of walking back into the house, unbeknownst to the rest of the family, having completed the perfect revenge and thinking, ha, the grotty pegs are all on my brother's stuff, must have been delightful to her. Eventually, the pleasure was too much, and she shared this little practice with us, which sadly lowered the intrinsic meekness of the revenge.
Meek revenge. I'd forgotten about that topic. That is always a great one. Yeah,
I'd love to hear more on that.
Yeah.
And this one is from Andy, and he says, this story isn't a single incident. I'm calling it my weekend adrift, or alternatively, what the hell is wrong with me? My dad was about to turn 80. To celebrate this milestone, he invited his immediate family to gather in Bath, where a game of crazy golf was suggested. Who's in? My 15-year-old son, with none of the patience required for any golf involving anthills and windmills, an octogenarian who has all the coordination of Jack Douglas from the Carry On films, if you're too young to know who he is, look him up on YouTube, and a 50-year-old with MS, that's me. This was going to be a high-quality game. As it turned out, we did all right, with everyone hitting a few twos and even the odd hole in one. I have to confess, it got a little competitive. Just to underline, this was crazy golf, not that kids game that Tiger Woods plays. This was serious. And when it got to the last hole, I was two shots ahead of my son, with my dad only one more shot behind. I've been cool as a cucumber up to this point. This, though, was the crucial final hole. I just had to hold it together. I didn't even need to be that good. I could afford to drop a shot and still win. My destiny. The cup and winner's check I'd conjured up in my mind were as good as mine. My dad took his turn first, a commendable 3. My son next, also 3. This should be easy. I only had to hit a 4. I'd only hit 1-4 the whole 18 holes, everything else below. But now my opponents were looking at me, waiting to see if I had what it takes. The crowd, I was now imagining, to go along with the cup and winner's check, were also staring at me. A hush, also imagined, had descended on the course as I took my opening shot. My right armpit began to sweat. Was that a tremor in my left hand? Was this the yips I'd heard about? I pulled the club back and topped the ball like I was about to tuck into a boiled egg. It bobbed a few feet and came to rest by the curb. How was I going to get it in the drain pipe from there? My pain was not eased by my son nearly falling over from laughing so much, and my dad, in rather more understated manner, saying, "Oops." I would show them, "Watch this." What they actually witnessed was the increasingly desperate attempts of a middle-aged man to win a game of crazy golf that resulted in him shooting a 7. A 7! Not only had I not won, I had managed to come last. All because my brain has suddenly remembered I'm a certified drifter. What the hell is wrong with me? If this was a 70s sitcom, I would have snapped my club across my thigh before handing it back to the kiosk guy. But as it was, I did nothing more than arrive at the park cafe in a really bad mood. We met up with the rest of the party there, but there was no table free inside with seats for 7 people. There was one, however, on the balcony. It was just about warm enough to sit outside, so we headed to the free table whilst keeping an eye on the tables inside, waiting for one to become vacant. When we took our seats, I was conscious the whole time that it was a bit cold, especially if you're into your 9th decade like my mum and dad. But we did have some hot tea and coffee to keep us warm, as well as some delicious cake. It wasn't long anyway till a table inside became free. My eagle-eyed wife spotted it and was off like a heat-seeking missile to claim it. My son was off too, managing to locate the table despite never taking his eyes off his phone. I loaded all our pots onto our tray and my mum and dad asked if I needed a hand carrying it. I declined, not wanting to put the burden onto them at their age. Picking up the tray while holding a walking stick was tricky though, and I had to get through a glass door too. Fortunately, help was at hand. A teenage waiter of about 17 appeared and offered to take the tray from me. I was slightly embarrassed that I probably needed the assistance of this youth. I suppose I have an excuse, what with the MS, but I wish I didn't have to rely on people like this. I could probably have managed it, and I like to maintain as much independence as possible, but my balance isn't great. And without his help, this might turn into the cheat-up equivalent of that scene in Borat the movie when he destroys half an antique store with his clumsiness. Again, YouTube, very funny. But in an instant, social anxiety had reared its head once again. Without it, I might have said, many thanks, we're just moving to the table over there because it's a bit cold here. If you can bring it over, that'd be great. Adrift in this cruel world, what I actually did was mumble, ta, and go and join my family. I sat down, ready to enjoy the rest of my lovely tea and cake. Hang on, I thought, where is the waiter going? Why is he taking our tray with everything on it over to the counter? Why is he now behind the counter and unloading everything from the tray? What did you say to him? Asked my wife, tight of lip. I said, we were coming over here. Can you bring it over? I lied. However, her expression was clearly saying, you need to sort this out. I did the walk of shame and managed to intercept the teenage waiter before he started tipping our drinks down the sink. I mumbled an explanation. He mumbled an apology. Only one of us was of an age where social awkwardness is still to be expected. I took the restock tray back to my family with one thought in my head. What the hell is wrong with me?
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I very much enjoy the modest daydream aspect of the golf.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just you're doing something pretty mundane and you're imagining what life could be, but it still is you playing crazy golf.
Yeah, yeah.
Only with crowds there. I think that could be a good, if you've got any stories on the little modest daydreams that you have. You know, not ones about being on top of the pops, but, you know, maybe one about getting a big triumphant round of applause at a local pub karaoke night, something you would never do, but it's just about within touching distance.
Yeah.
And I'm very, as I said before, I'm thrilled to have the subject of meek revenge reintroduced.
Yeah.
So if you have stories for us about your own social ineptitude, anything on either of those two subjects, then or the rest, you can email us. It's hello@adriftpodcast.com.
This is warm and friendly, and you like it. And that's why you're here. You were the one that pressed play, after all, with your thumb.
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
You have a lovely thumb.
Humble, why don't you give us another way in which you're not a fully functioning adult?
Part 42, extreme people pleasing. Now, this is an extreme example, but what makes me feel better is that both me and my boyfriend are guilty of it. So I basically feel less alone and a bit less pathetic in sharing this.
This is interesting because I think of you as a people pleaser in a certain way. I don't think of him as a people pleaser at all.
Well, you're going to learn more about him now.
Fascinating.
So last week we bought online a new mattress. I mentioned before that Tom has got a bad back and the mattress was old and not helping matters at all. So we bought a new one. We bought it last week and we were told it was arriving on Friday. On Friday morning, we got another email saying it was out for delivery with the courier. I'm going to call the courier company Rocket, because that's a good name for a company.
It is, yeah.
And we realised that this means we now have to get rid of our old mattress. You know, it's quite a big item. Mm. Obviously, you can't just bin it. And I try in life not to be like that man who emailed in to the old radio show and said that he bought a new sofa and couldn't be bothered to get rid of the old one. So he just upended it next to the new one and left it there for years. I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
And I really always try not to reach that low. So it wasn't an option just to put the new mattress on top of the old one. And there was nowhere else to put it in the flat. So ideally, we did need to get rid of it that day. So Tom put the old mattress on Facebook Marketplace just for free and had a message almost immediately from someone who could pick it up that afternoon, which is great. And I realised it was probably going to be the same situation as when we gave away recently our spare room bed on Facebook Marketplace. It's not someone who actually needs the mattress for themselves. They don't ask any questions about it at all. They turn up in a big van, cart it off, probably to sell it. They're basically a modern day rag and bone man. And I'd feel a bit better giving it to charity. And we did try that first, but they couldn't come pick it up till next week. Justify myself there. Anyway, the old mattress man is coming in the afternoon at about 1 p.m. Knock on the door. It's the delivery driver from Rocket.
Great.
And he's got a package.
Hooray.
For the guy who lives upstairs.
Oh.
That he wants us to take for him. And we ask where ours is. And he says, oh, yeah, I had too much on the van, so a subcontractor took some of my parcels. but the subcontractor will be come today, won't he? We ask a bit nervously. And the guy says, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, these subcontractors aren't great, I won't lie. But, you know, I'm sure it'll be okay. And everything in his voice tells me it won't be okay. And I'm doing a bit of Googling about this rocket delivery company, and they do not have great reviews. And they also don't deliver over the weekend, and it's Friday. So if the mattress doesn't come today, we won't get it until Monday. Now, it's at this point that Tom gets a message from the Facebook marketplace man saying he's on his way and he'll be there in 15 minutes. So the right and normal thing to do now is message straight back and say, stop, don't come, come on Monday. But because he's on his way, and maybe he wasn't a rag and bone man, maybe he really needed the mattress today, like for his kids to sleep on or an elderly relative. Like, we didn't want to annoy him. So we just let him come and take our mattress away in a big van, of course, with barely a glance at it. Definitely a rag and bone man. And then we just wait for the new mattress, and we wait and we wait. And of course it doesn't come. And so for the next three nights, we had to sleep on the bare slats of our bed. I was slightly better off as I got out of my two-year-old son travel cot mattress, which is half the size of me and just 5 centimetres deep, but I just really curled up into a tiny ball. Tom had to lie on two sleeping bags, a spare duvet and a blanket for three nights. Just because we didn't want to let down a man that we'd never met before in our life. Pathetic.
Adrift. Jeff Lloyd. Annabelle Port.
If you get close enough, you can taste the freshness.
We are hurtling towards the end of the year. It's the 10th of December as we record this. It'll be the 11th when it comes out. Then it'll be Lucia a couple of days after that. What?
You can point out all the different things even lead up to Christmas.
Anyway, the point being that for our Patreon supporters, and if you do support us on Patreon, thank you so much. We will be recording our annual Christmas video.
Yes.
So this is me and Annabelle sitting in front of my Christmas tree, which has previously discussed.
Well, yeah, you can judge whether you think it's oppressive or
yes,
not in the video.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what do we do? Do we sort of just have a chat? We answer questions?
Yeah, we're going to do a Q&A, aren't we? So we need some questions.
So we'll get a big tin of, I don't know what it'll be, roses, Quality Street.
Ooh, a full one.
You can pull some crackers.
Yeah.
But if you have anything you would like to ask us for Christmas, this won't be on the podcast. This will just be this special video, which is available to you if you support us on Patreon. And, you know, we will answer any question. It can be a question about us. But similarly, if you have a question from life, a bit like Quandary Corner, but not limited to sort of questions about social interactions.
Anything, we'll answer anything.
I think they call it an AMA, don't they?
Yeah.
Ask me anything. Mm. Or an AQA. Any questions answered?
Yep.
Do you remember that thing?
No.
So this was before people had the internet on their phones.
Oh, yes, yes, I do remember.
You could send a question, you know.
By text message. Yes.
And it could be about anything. It could be like, how tall is the Eiffel Tower? Or it could be, should I make a pass at my secretary?
Wow. Which, to which I hope, question. Yeah.
To which I very much hope, you know, the answer would come back, no, it's inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying it could be AQA, any question answered, and you would get a text message back with the answer on it.
The internet really killed that, didn't it?
It was amazing while it happened. You're like, how does this work? And then my ex-girlfriend, do you remember this?
Yeah, yeah.
She got a job working for them.
Yeah.
And basically it was anybody with an internet connection, you could log on and the questions would come up and you get paid like 50p for every question that you answered or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just people in their houses Googling stuff and then sending it back as a text message.
Amazing.
It really does sound so old-fashioned.
Yeah.
And clunky and long-winded.
It sounds as old-fashioned as like taping the charts off the radio.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But it was just before people started having the internet on most of, because there were, I remember there being a thing called WAP mobile phones.
Oh yeah,
WAP. What was that?
I don't know.
A WAP phone.
It standed for. No, I didn't know.
It standed for. What did it stand for?
Do you think I'm breaking down?
I mean, I do stuff like that all the time. Big language
down.
Is leaving me. Yeah,
I'm absolutely breaking down. I don't even know what it standed for. I think I thought it would come to me as I was saying standard for.
Yeah, no.
That's why I said standard instead of
maybe stood. You are a little bit broken.
I am. Do you remember people using AQA in pub quizzes? And
yes.
No one use AQA, please. Anyway, what was WAP again?
I can't remember.
Oh, right. Let's leave it then.
Yeah. It definitely standard for something. So, what was I saying? Oh, basically, we'll answer any questions on a special video for Patreon supporters.
So should people email them to us? Yeah, they should, shouldn't they?
Yeah, that's definitely what you should do.
What's our email address, Jeff?
Our email address is hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Exactly.
I do get I do get the occasional tweet from somebody saying, can you tell me the email address? And I just think, why don't you just rewind the podcast to the bit where I say it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a hassle though, isn't it? Trying to find the
right place.
It's
a bit of a hassle for me. Like, I need to find the at sign on my keyboard. Anyway, yeah, as Annabelle says, email is hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Computer sounds are awesome. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Adrift.
A couple of quick things. One is a little tradition that we've established in our household. Every year we get a Christmas tree, and then once it's in the house, we go as a family. It used to just be me and my wife, but now we go as a family, the three of us, to Liberty Department Store. That's a nice department store, isn't it?
Beautiful, yeah. You used to work right by it, didn't we?
We did, yeah. It's sort of rendered in mock Tudor. I love a bit of mock Tudor.
Do you?
Yeah. I wish they wouldn't call it mock Tudor.
Well, but that differentiates it from, like,
I don't know,
real
it just sort of cheapens it a little bit. Why don't you call it Tudorish?
Oh, yeah.
Tudoresque.
Yeah, or Tudor effect.
Yeah, any of these things.
Mock
yeah.
feels bad, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it does.
Right,
okay. Anyway, so we go there because they have the most beautiful Christmas department. And here's what we do. We each pick out a bauble.
Oh.
And then we bring it home and hang it on the tree. Aren't you thinking, what a lovely Christmassy family?
Yeah, I am thinking that.
Thinking, I wish I was part of that family. Yeah. It's probably what you're thinking too, Drifters. But I mean, I'll be honest, the last couple of years since Jean's been around, it's ended up in some kind of meltdown
right.
because the shop is too busy. Mm. He's an impatient toddler. Mm-hmm. Like, we're always worried he's going to break. So
right.
Anyway, yeah. But this year he picked out a bauble in the shape of a dog.
Okay.
I mean, not as tasteful as I would have liked, but
right, okay.
You know, the deal is you get to pick a bauble. So he picks this bauble, and then I become responsible for paying for it and queuing up because he has no patience for being in queues.
Right.
Neither really does my wife, so it falls to me.
Okay.
So I get to the front of the queue, and there's a young woman serving me, and she said, oh, I love this one. I said, oh, yeah, it's nice, isn't it? She said, I just love dogs. I said, oh, right. Said, have you got a dog? She says, yes, I have. I said, what sort of a dog is it? And it's a cross between something and something else. And then I say, oh, right, and what's your dog called? And she says, Jeff.
No.
You know what I should have done?
Oh, God, yeah.
Nothing.
Right. What did you do?
I said, my name's Jeff.
Well, how could you not?
And then it had been this lovely festive transaction.
Yeah, yeah.
She's wearing a Santa hat. My son's picked out a bauble. We're talking about dogs. It's going great. And then I think she found it in some way embarrassing that she'd named a dog what she clearly thought was a humorous name.
Right, okay.
Because if you're giving your dog a human name, some element of it being a novelty or a bit of a punchline.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
And I lacked the social competency to make her feel better about herself or, make light of it. So it was just a long time then while she was wrapping those baubles up.
I bet, yeah. Sometimes it is better to stay silent.
Yes.
There's a playgroup I go to where a mother there has three children. Her children's names are Annabelle, Emily and Tom. My name's Annabelle Emily. My boyfriend's name is Tom. How I resist the urge to go, oh, my name's Annabelle Emily. My boyfriend's, because I know if I do, it'll just be like awkward and she'll be like, oh, okay.
See, then this is why you are slightly better at moving through life than I am.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing that I was going to tell you about. The second thing is we have a new cleaner.
Another one, really?
Yeah,
okay.
We're really getting through them.
Yeah, what's going on there?
It's a whole, okay. Whole other story.
All right, another time.
Yeah. But this one seems great. She's called Karina the Cleaner.
Great name.
I mean, she's called Karina. And then in my head, I call her Karina the Cleaner.
Of course you do, yeah.
I wouldn't call her that to her face.
No. Good. Okay.
Anyway, so as previously mentioned, I broke my glasses this week. Mm. So I've been... The reason I ended up buying a cord to wear my reading glasses around my neck is I was struggling to find them.
Right.
So I'm sort of rattling around the house. She's here and I'm looking for my glasses. I'm like, oh, I can't find my glasses anywhere. And she says, oh, I've seen your glasses. I've seen them. Let me help you. So she takes me into the kitchen and our dining table has a lift up bit where you can keep stuff on the inside.
Right.
And she says, here they are. And sure enough, she pulls out a glasses case with some glasses in it.
Right.
Straight away, I know these aren't my glasses.
Okay.
These are some of Sarah's glasses.
Oh, okay. Right.
But I don't want to say that.
Oh, no, because she's all happy to have helped you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Karina, that's so great.
Oh.
Thank you so much. And then I put these glasses that I can't see through on and fail to read.
Yeah.
Because I just have to then wait for her to go into a different room before I can begin the business of looking for my actual glasses.
Oh.
So I wore glasses that weren't mine just so as not to hurt her, just not even hurt her feelings,
yeah.
But just so that we could have this shared moment of excitement where she proudly has found my glasses.
Yeah. Oh.
What's wrong with me?
Now that you're listening, it's happening. Do you know it? Do you like it? When will you be here in the future? I will be here in the future.
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
All right, Annabelle, time for Problematic at the GLAP Clinic in... I've done it the wrong way around, haven't I?
Don't do it the wrong way around.
It's Quandary Corner in the GLAP Clinic in Problematic.
Okay, number one from Alex. I have a query for you. I don't think you've covered anything similar before, but sorry if you have. Unlike, I imagine, most of the other drifters, I'm quite fond of football. This is based entirely on the fact that neither of you are. A few months ago, I took an opportunity to see my team, Leicester, play. My friend was able to get tickets for a match in Brighton. I drove to his house, then we moved on to a train station for the free journey to Brighton. We stopped at a shop to get a sandwich, and my friend started talking to two other men that I didn't know. I was not introduced at any point. Further into their conversation, I realised that the men were my friend's father and brother with whom we were continuing the journey. It felt too late to introduce myself, so I just dawdled behind them, not apart but not with. Thankfully, our seats at the stadium were apart from the other two and we were separated for the journey back. Leicester also won. But what should I have done when I realised who my friend was speaking to? I'm going to another match next month and I don't want any more awkwardness, so do you have any advice for how I should handle this?
Well, clearly, what you should do next time round is the port principal. Just pretend like it never, like they know who you are already, that you already know who they are.
Yeah. You don't feel that he should have to introduce himself.
I think that's the friend's responsibility.
I think that. So the whole time I was thinking, this isn't your fault.
No, it's your friend's
fault.
It's
like your friend's forgotten your name.
Yeah.
And your friend is, for some reason, not introduced to his father and his brother.
Yeah, it's...
And also not mentioning beforehand that he was going to be meeting up with his dad and his brother, I find a bit weird.
It's very odd, this. Yeah. But see, I feel the only thing is I don't know about football etiquette.
Oh, you think this is a football etiquette question?
I don't know. I mean, am I right in thinking that sort of after a soccer game, like it descends into hooliganism and you go and smash stuff up and set stuff on fire and get in brawls? It's good not to know people's names before you do that,
Right.
So that when the cops start asking questions.
Yeah, you can't grasp them.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're talking about a very tiny minority.
Right.
Tiny, tiny minority.
In the 70s.
In the 70s. Yeah. So I don't think that would apply, especially not to these people.
Right.
So I just feel, I'm at my loss what to say because I feel it's just none of it's your responsibility.
No, it's the friend.
I wish your friend had emailed in and said, what should I do?
I would like the other side of the story. I mean, would you be comfortable broaching the subject with your friend and trying to get their perspective on this?
Yeah. Say, oh, by the way, it's a bit weird that you introduced me, embarrassed about me or... And then... Just to like then carry on and never and not be mentioned at all and then carry on walking and he's sort of walking a bit behind and his friend never saying, oh, like bring him into the conversation.
I feel there's missing information here.
Maybe this is a football thing. Maybe we're ill qualified to deal with this question. But in terms of introducing people, what are the rules there? Like, obviously, you should do it. If you don't know their name, you don't do it.
Yeah. So I am, because of my thing with faces, with myself, I am always trying to jump into introduce myself just in case somebody else feels as awkward as I do.
Okay.
So I've said before that a little system that we have, me and my wife and I, is that if somebody comes over and starts talking to me, straight away she sticks a hand out and says, "Hi, I'm Sarah."
Mm-hmm.
If she hasn't, so that I don't have to introduce them.
Yeah.
And I think that is quite a good thing to do socially anyway, to take the uncomfortable, to take that possibility away that they might not.
What if you're not with your wife? Say, for example, you're with me and I wasn't aware of this system and we go up to two people and it's correct for you to introduce me, but you can't remember their names. What do you do then? Just leave it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's the worst. I hate it.
And then
that is part of my social awkwardness is about that.
And right. Just that fear. Yeah. Okay. One more question about this topic. When you see somebody and you're not sure if you've met them before, do you pretend that you have or you haven't? Do you say, "Oh, hello, I'm Jeff. Nice to meet you." Or what do you do?
I would say, "Good to see you." And they say, "I don't think we've met before." And then I straight away say, "No, I didn't think so either, but I just wanted in case out of politeness."
Do you hate it when you say to someone, "Oh, we haven't met before," and they say, "Oh, no, I think we have"? Do you think
awful.
That,
I think that's really
along.
Rude. Yeah,
they should
yeah,
play along,
yeah,
shouldn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Got a lot sorted there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next one then. This is from Sean.
People are very touchy about being forgotten.
Right.
Do you not find that? I just assume that I'm forgettable.
Yeah.
I just think, why would anybody remember me?
Yeah.
So I'm never offended if somebody says, "Nice to meet you."
No, me neither.
Because, and a lot of people, you know, they'll sit there and go, "He's met me 9 times and he never remembers."
So that's why
I don't care.
That's why somebody will go, "Oh, no, we have met before."
Like,
so they're a bit indignant about it because you're supposed to go, just say nothing.
Exactly.
Mm, okay. Okay, this is a train one from Sean. I am sat on a train from London to Perth and it is packed. Of course, there are loads of people leaving their suitcases in that little rack between the carriages and it's mental and the luggage is overflowing. I managed to do a little suitcase feng shui and baggage Tetris to organise the chaos and create a gap for mine and my partner's cases. All the while, there is a guy behind me watching me bring some order to rack. And as I turn to grab our cases, he puts his suitcase in the gap I have just created and walks down the carriage. What are the rules for dealing with this retrobate? I let out a low volume, "Thanks, mate." I went about my task of creating another new space for our luggage. Oh, what do you do about people like this? What do you do?
I would have been tempted to put his suitcase on the floor.
Oh,
yeah.
Not so he could see and know it was you. You wouldn't be confrontation about it.
No.
You wait till he walks off back to you, then take his arm.
Yeah. But then somebody who hadn't been paying close attention might think that you'd just taken his an innocent stranger's suitcase away.
And they'll judge you.
Yeah. I mean, I always feel slightly uncomfortable with the suitcase Tetris thing anyway, because I think people don't like you touching their things.
And I feel uncomfortable doing it, yeah.
But I don't care. I don't care if somebody wants to do that to my bag, as long as it's still easily accessible to me.
Yeah.
I don't care. But some people get really touchy just if you move their bag.
Mm.
But it's not your fault if they positioned it poorly. They've not left the optimal amount of space.
Yeah. It's tricky. So apart from just taking theirs out, are we just going to go with the passive-aggressive... That's the way to do it.
Well, as my friend John always says, passive aggressive is the best kind of aggressive.
Yeah, true.
I mean, passive anything, really.
So I think Sean really did the right thing there. Okay.
And that was this week's podcast. I'm losing my voice a little bit, so I'm not going to run through all the names like I usually do. I will say that if you have anything to send us, do it through the email, hello@adriftpodcast.com. And if you would like to ask us a question for the Patreon video, you have to be a Patreon supporter to watch it. Go to patreon.com/adrift. And I think I'm just going to go downstairs, fill a hot water bottle and maybe watch an old film.
Really?
I might watch The Day the Earth Standed Still.
Adrift.
Adrift.
Okay, let's have a look at this podication then. Comes from Emma, who says, "Hi there. Hi there.
Hi there.
I would like to request a podication for my husband, Liam. We were both big fans of your radio show, and since that sad day you left our airwaves, I was listening to podcasts weekly. At the time, Lee was studying for his chartered accountancy qualification, so all his free time was spent on that. Since finishing the exam part of that qualification, he asked if we could listen to the podcast together, which means that I haven't been up to date all year, but it does let us debate who is the biggest drifter. Lee does not enjoy conversations with strangers and is currently relating to the awkward conversation stories at the barbers, July, August. What you should talk about, why was the barber more chatty with the previous customer, should he mention that they forgot to tidy up his sideburns, etc. He has now purchased some clippers for home." See, however bad those interactions get, I still don't really entertain the thought of doing it myself.
Okay, yeah.
So I think, A, I'd be bad at it. Yeah. Two, I'd need to clear up the shavings.
Right, right. I have to say that I've entered the world of the barbers recently, having now got a son, and I have to take him to have his hair done. And I think it's an absolutely terrible system.
Scissors? I mean, everything?
No,
what?
No, the whole no appointment thing that men do.
Oh, yeah.
Make an appointment,
yeah,
like women do.
I agree. I like a plan.
I can't bear it. And also, I'm fairly convinced that at least one of the people there was deliberately going slowly because they'd worked out that me and my son would have been next and didn't want to cut his hair.
I bet that's
so
right.
So I had to wait for ages because they were going slowly and waiting for someone else. I'm sure that happens all the time.
Let me ask you a question. How often are you getting your kid's hair cut?
Like every few months.
Grows, I think Gene's had it done once.
In his life?
Yeah.
Why is it not like out of the trees then?
Well, have you seen it?
I mean, it sort of is. Okay.
As I've said before, it's very Art Garfunkel.
Wow.
Sarah sometimes has at it with a pair of scissors.
Okay.
She doesn't cut it. She just sees a bit she doesn't like or she thinks it's getting too unruly. And she just snips that bit off.
So I'm guessing his hair doesn't grow down into his hair grows up, not into his eyes.
Oh, very much up, yeah.
So Rudy's hair grows into his eyes. That's why I had to have it cut.
No, it's very much put your hair up in the air.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Where are we up to with this?
I just wanted to get that on my chest, sorry.
No. I've recently learned
it's a very bad system.
It's very interesting. You don't think there's something wrong with my son, do you, that his hair just defies gravity?
No, I'm jealous.
Whereas my need to be liked and my inability to say no means we are currently signed up to a charity lottery thing, as I got caught when walking into Sainsbury's, rather than being Patreon supporters. We are dutifully waiting for a suitable time when we will switch over. Well, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the charity is probably better, isn't it?
I think you're doing the right thing there.
The reason for this podcation is that after months of waiting, Lee has finally heard that he's successfully completed everything required to be a chartered accountant. We're so proud and pleased that his tireless efforts have been finally rewarded. It's been a bit of a whirlwind year as we were blessed with the safer arrival of our son and then figuring out how life works. I wouldn't have wanted to figure it out with anyone else. Isn't that a lovely sentiment?
That's very nice.
However, I think Lee should take a moment to be immensely proud of what he's achieved. And what better way than to celebrate a podcation on the only podcast he listens to? Cheers, Emma.
Only one.
Liam, congratulations.
Yeah, amazing, yeah.
It's wonderful. You should become a show business accountant. Very lucrative.
Well, because you're always ripping people off.
Yeah, you can embezzle.
Yeah. Take a penny from everyone's bank account. That works, I hear.
I say this with some experience, of course, because I was a victim of one of these bench show business accountants. Went to prison. And do you know what? It was a terrible, very stressful period of my life. But the thing that made up for it is the Daily Mirror ran a story about accountant to the stars. And my picture was in it.
Oh, come on.
I was described as a star.
Makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was me. I think it might have, I could be wrong here, but I think Doctor Who might have been in it. Jodie Whittaker.
Oh, yeah.
Before she was Doctor Who.
Okay.
I might have to check that. I could be wrong.
Right.
But I think one of the other ones was Chris Marshall.
Oh, from the BT ads.
From the BT ads, yeah. From Love Actually.
Oh, yeah, our house.
And from My Family.
My Family, our house.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I always think that every time I'm watching Love Actually. I always watch it around this time of year.
Mm.
I mean, I know it's not very good, but it's really good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I always think that's the thing that links us.
Mm.
Can't remember who was, but somebody from the comic strip, I think, was hit as well.
Well, that's quite a claim to fame.
Yeah. I might just have to Google it was Doctor Who, just to. Otherwise I'll feel bad about... I don't saying she was a victim of an account.
Yeah, I think it's all right. It's not like
so I don't need to Google
no,
it.
I think
basically,
fine.
What you're saying is I can press stop on the tape and then we can go home.
Yeah.
I mean, I am home. I live here, but you want to go home, right?
I don't think you need to check.
Yeah. All right. If you'd like a podcation, email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.